hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, I was sitting thinking this morning about so many people that I've talked to who try to refute in their own hearts the fact that Jesus ever existed in the first place, or that he ever did the things the Bible claims that he has done. They try to treat the Bible as a book that, quite frankly, is just a book written by man and filled with all kinds of interesting stories. The problem I have with that is pretty straightforward and clear. I don't know of any scholars that deny the fact that Jesus existed. I don't know of any learned people who would deny the fact that there was a man named Jesus, as Josephus called him, if it were lawful to call him a man, that did many wonderful signs and works in the presence of the Jews in Jerusalem. And so even the secular historians agree that Jesus existed. There is no sound reason not to believe in Jesus Christ, who was and is and shall be again. Well, I do thank you all again for being here this morning, and I want to begin a study again for the church here. If you remember that Paul wrote to Timothy telling him that he wants him to know how he ought to conduct himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and 15. And we continue with that theme now in this second quarter of the year. And we're going to be talking more about things that the church should always know, the things that we should be able to answer and give an account of to everyone who asks us of the hope that is in us with meekness and with fear. And you'll remember, if you were here, that in the first quarter of this year, we talked about many different subjects, and we covered mostly sticking to that theme. We have talked about how the church needs to have a greater understanding of the Scriptures, how that when we talked about concerning the establishment of the church itself from Acts chapter 2, we remember that the church belongs to Jesus Christ in a sermon called Church for Sale, that we have no rights in this church other than to listen and obey our God and the one who purchased the church with His blood. We talked about the real message of baptism and how it is an integral part of the plan that God has laid out for our salvation, that it is baptism that indeed puts us into the church. You can't be in the church and not have been baptized, because that's what baptism does. And we learned how vitally important it is for the Christians themselves to understand the doctrine of the fellowship and the doctrine of the apostles, the breaking of bread, the fellowship and the prayers. And it's so important for us to understand what those things are. The purpose of the church we discussed. It's not food, fun, and entertainment. The purpose of the church is evangelism and benevolence and edification of the saints. And it's what it means to be a Christian. And we talked about the importance of not redlining people, the importance of every Christian having a desire to love their neighbor as themselves, and not put people off to the side and not refuse to talk to people because of class or because of an intellect or because of their position in life. We want to reach out to everybody. We don't stop talking to people just because we feel they know more than we do or they don't want to hear what we have to say. And so we need to trust in the power of the gospel to save souls and not in ourselves. We, in a recent study, we talked about the difference between the liberal and the conservative views in churches, and how important that is to understand that, because it is so widely accepted, the social gospel. And so we've covered all of those bases, and we want to continue with the idea of learning more and more about what we should have solid foundation in as we continue throughout this year with the hope of building this congregation up and be able to reach souls for Christ. And today we will, I hope, have a very simple lesson on what causes division. We're going to begin down that road, division and error. And then this evening, if the Lord wills and I live, we'll come back together and worship God. And we will talk about the subject of God speaking to man apart from the Word. Does that really happen today, as so many falsely teach? And so these lessons, I pray, are useful, helpful to us, to the church, so that we just know the commands, we understand the doctrine, things that we must obey, things we must teach, and the things we must continually learn so that we are ready to give answers. And so now, in our lesson today, as it was read this morning, Paul, if we are to be Christians, that people that please God, people who are being transformed by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God, the very first and foremost thing that we must do is hold fast to God's Word. That should go without saying, but it needs to be said, as we talked this morning about how important it is to remember the things of God. Paul said, "I, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preach to you." And notice the words in yellow, that's for our young people to fill out those "Are you listening?" cards, and hopefully to follow along and learn with us together. So what causes division and error? What is really the root cause? I believe that you can narrow that down to just three simple things that are what I would call the root causes of religious error. Ignorance is one of those things which it can be either a lack of interest, a lack of understanding, a lack of study, or it can be willful ignorance, a desire just not to hear the Word of God, not to hear the truth, to remain in a comfortable state, which is probably the number one factor. The second thing, there are some who are simply liars. We have to be honest about it. And some people, they lie for selfish gain. They lie to maintain their own course and to drag other people along with them. And some people lie just simply because they were taught wrong. And that's not as malicious. But listen, when you hear what the Scriptures have to say, you have to decide through the Scripture. When you hear a teaching, you have to decide through the Scripture. Is that teaching right? Is that from God? What saith the Scripture? And if you hear a teaching that you can't validate in the Scripture, if you hear something that is out of context with what the Scripture actually taught, you need to run from that teaching. If you're in a congregation that teaches such things, you need to leave. But if you hear something in the Bible that is true, even if you don't agree with it, you need to accept it. And you need to obey it. You don't have any other choice. So religious error also then, the third thing, there are people in the world who love the world. And so those three things we want to talk about. People who love the world more than God, people who are liars for whatever reason, and again, people who just are ignorant. And so let's begin with the idea of the religious error exists because of ignorance. Ignorance is, according to Webster, he says that it's a lack of knowledge, education, or awareness. And that's pretty straightforward and simple. Sometimes there are people who are just clueless. Lack of knowledge in regard to the Scripture. Oblivious, unaware, unfamiliar due to a lack of study on their own. And that's a majority of people, quite frankly. And the Greek word that's used here is the word agnoeo. And it's a very interesting word. noeo. And that particular word refers to just simply not knowing. It's a negative form of knowing. Gnosis, or geneo, as it is sounded out here, means knowledge, understanding. And the word, the letter A before that, is simply makes it a negative. You know, so it means don't understand, without understanding. Very straightforward. And as we look at this, and we understand what's going on in Romans chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, there are people who will not submit to the righteousness of God. As we read through that chapter, you'll notice that right away. People who simply will not submit to the righteousness of God. Again, in Acts chapter 17 and at verse 23, those who worship the unknown God there in Athens, they worship without knowledge. Their worship was in ignorance. And those are the same words they submitted to the would not submit to the righteousness of God. They refused and remained ignorant. Or those who worship an unknown God. They don't even know who they're worshiping, and they're doing that out of ignorance. And of course, Paul explained to them who that God that they are worshiping should be. The one who created all things. And so we can never accept flippantly, without devotion to study, without questioning things that are being taught. Because the minute we just accept the preacher, I know that when I preach, the good brethren here, they follow along in their Bibles, and I've been told a number of times that maybe I need to rethink what I just said, and if I'm wrong, I change that. It's that simple. We need to listen to every teaching and compare it. Be like the Bereans in the book of Acts chapter 17 who studied the Scriptures. They searched the Scriptures daily to make sure that even what the Apostle Paul was teaching was accurate. And so we can never be just laid back about things that are being taught in the church or in people's homes in Bible studies. We don't want to be ignorant. And you know, there's a saying, ignorance is bliss, and it's not. To a lot of people, it's a lot easier just to not talk about it. It's a lot easier, you know, to hold to that good old American saying. I assume this is an American saying that there's two things we never discuss at the table, and that is God, religion, and politics. And I believe the reason that has become true is because people really don't know their Bibles, and so there's all it does is create vain arguments. And people, honestly, they don't even know much about politics. They just know who they want to vote for, and that's all there is to it, so we don't want to argue. But when it comes to the Scriptures, we need to know. And we can't say, well, you know, that's too much, and I know how I think, how I feel, and I want to just continue down this road, so don't talk to me. We can't live that way. And it's hard sometimes to hear the things that are true against what you have believed. You remember in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." He says, "And in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." And that's a whole world full of people who, when you try to open the pages of the Holy Bible, the Word of God, that God-breathed, inspired Word, and you try to read simple truths, they don't want to hear it. Talk about football, baseball, golf, basketball, anything in the world, but the minute you open this book and say, "Let's study," and they just shake their hands and they go, "No, let's talk some other day." That's a normal thing. Remember in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the people came to Jesus. They said, "Lord, Lord, What did Jesus say? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven. Those were people that were willfully ignorant. They believed that doing good works, all those wonderful things they did in the name of the Lord. And they didn't understand. It isn't those who say, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, enters the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Do you know how many times I've asked people, do you know the will of the Father? Can you tell me just 10 commands of the Lord Jesus Christ out of the New Testament? You know, I've said this so many times, it's starting to get old, but I have 49 of them listed myself. Very few people can come up with more than love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. They get lost. But that's because they're not studying the Scripture. They're remaining ignorant. And it's a lot easier just to not have the conversation and just stay ignorant or unknowing, having no knowledge, than it is to spend time daily studying God's Word. To be able to stand up and be sanctified by the Word of God, that you're ready to give answers. Peter speaks of people who are willfully forgetting. They forgot the wicked in 2 Peter chapter 3. They forgot the wickedness of people in the days of Noah. And that caused God to destroy the world by a flood. And 8 souls were saved by water, God said, in that ark. And they forget the fact that wickedness is what caused the world to be destroyed. And Peter tells us that they continue to live as those people did in Noah's days, even to that very day. And Peter warned that the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire in the day of judgment. And people just don't want to hear it. Make no mistake, there are many today who would rather not study the Bible because they don't want to change. It's just that simple. I know my church. I love my church. I know the people in the church. They love me. I love them. I love the preacher. I love the pastor. And everything that we do, I feel really good about it. And I don't want to change. And that word that you're reading me is telling me I need to change. He's telling me that I'm not doing something right. And I don't want to hear it. Many people are really afraid to study God's Word, the Holy Bible, the inspired Word of God, because they know what they practice, how they practice, and even though that isn't from God, they still want to continue that path because they're comfortable. I think, quite frankly, you know, if you're not in love with the Word of God, if God isn't the most important number one thing in your life, if we're not like the man that we mentioned this morning, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. We need to be like that man. And very few people are in this world. People would rather not love the law of the Lord and not study his word and remain ignorant or an unknowing without knowledge so that they can continue living the way they wish to live. And that's pretty sad. They have fears that this will require change. And next, as we look at this, you know, people already know sometimes that the place that they're in doesn't exactly teach what the Bible teaches. Sharon and I have been teaching a couple down near Columbus way, and the big problem they had was that their church requires them to speak in tongues, and they just don't see it in the Scripture. They don't want to do it. But they stayed in that congregation. The church teaches that God speaks to men today, and we'll talk about that tonight. And that doesn't happen, and they know it, but they still are in that congregation. They haven't left yet, but they're working on it. They know their church isn't right. And it's like I said in the beginning, if you read something here that is in contradiction with what your church teaches, you need to get out. You need to stand on the truth. Because the church that teaches a different doctrine doesn't have a spiritual leg to stand on. It is very true what Peter said about ignorance, that those who hold to it, 2 Peter chapter 3 and at verse 16, they are untaught and unstable. They twist to their own destruction as they do the rest of the Scriptures, Peter said. But, you know, that being true, don't make the mistake of using... If you were here, you remembered our lesson on redlining people. Don't make it the mistake of using the excuse that they don't want to hear it. They wish to remain ignorant, therefore I shouldn't talk to them because they don't want to hear what I have to say. Don't make the mistake of doing that, because there are people who have hearts ready to receive God's Word. There are people who have hearts ready to be saved. And you just don't know who those people are. There are people that want and need the truth of God. There are people that are miserable in some ways and not others, but they know that they're missing something. There is an empty void within them, and they need that void filled. And the only thing that will fill that void is God's Word. And even if they're combative, even if they say no, you know, you still speak to them. Your job is done. The seed is planted, and then you wait, and you wait till somebody waters, and then you wait some more, and you watch what God will do. We can't allow their desire to be ignorant to be our excuse not to preach Jesus Christ. As Peter said, those people, they're untaught and unstable. They twist to their own destruction. So let's be careful. The second reason, simply put, is there are liars. Psuthes is the word. Liars. We understand that we're not talking about people who are deceived. All right? I'm not talking about people who have been taught something that isn't true and they continue to perpetuate that teaching, because if they haven't heard the truth, as far as they know, they're still teaching the truth. We're not talking about people who have been taught that we're saved by faith and nothing else all their lives, and they believe that. We're not talking about people who have taught that there's such a thing as a sinner's prayer that you say to be saved, because they were taught that. They believe that. We're not talking about people who believe that there's an altar here that we come up to and a mourner's bench that we sit on and we ask God for forgiveness and He forgives us and He saves us. And they teach that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who know the difference. People who read the Bible and they teach the Bible. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this lesson out of the book of Mark. I've heard preachers preach out of Mark chapter 16, and they're teaching a lesson, and they say, later He appeared to the 11 and sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and the hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, go on to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow you. I've heard that. These television evangelists, they skip right over verse 16. Because they don't believe he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Those are the liars. That's what I'm talking about. Those are the ones who teach people something that they already know isn't true. And they continue to perpetuate that error to innocent souls. And there are a couple of words that are translated liars in your Bible. This particular word, you might be surprised, is only used 10 times. It's a noun, refers to the individual who lies. That word. One example there is the devil himself. In John 8:44, Jesus says, He tells us about this devil, this one who does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie. Because from his own resources, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar. And that's that word and the father of it. Opsudes, liar. Pseudes. Listen, pseudes simply means liar. Somebody that's not speaking truth. And it's so important for us to understand that the devil is the one who perpetuates and started all the lies in the very beginning in the garden in Genesis chapter 3 when he just added that little word, thou shalt not surely die. And there was your first lie. And it just went on from there. In Romans chapter 3 and at verse 4, we need to let God be true and every man a liar. And there are many people today who let the man be true and let God be the liar just by proxy. They believe the preacher. They believe the elder. They believe the Sunday school teacher. They believe your mother and father and so on, aunts and uncles. They believe what their church has been teaching for years and years. I grew up in this church. And they don't take time to investigate. And they become partakers of that lie. We need to let God be true and every man a liar. You know, it's like Paul talks about the Cretans. They're always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, Titus 1 and 12. Liars. And you know what the saddest, the most traumatic or horrible, I don't know what word to use about liars, comes from the book of Revelation, from John, who records all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns the brimstone, the second death. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. That is tragic. Paul wrote of liars, he called them men who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. Think about what he's saying there. Men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and all ungodliness and unrighteousness against those men who suppress the truth. They suppress the truth. That means they hold it back. It means that the truth is not in them to be shared with other people. You know, suppressing the truth is known as the sin of omission. It's when you know something is right and true, but you don't repeat it. You don't say it. You don't bring it up. Maybe you do that because you're afraid to be combative. Maybe you do that because you think the other person will disagree and leave you as a friend or a family member. But you need to speak the truth in love. And I don't know about your feelings on this subject. You know, the day's coming when it's appointed unto all men and to die once and then the judgment. On that day of judgment, we will all face God. And the thing that I would fear the most would be to stand before the Almighty God in judgment and hear Him say, why did you suppress the truth? He doesn't have to call me a liar. Why did you suppress the truth? Why didn't you speak up? Why did you hold that back? Why didn't you tell those people about my Son Jesus Christ, about their sin, about His sacrifice upon the cross, about the saving blood that was shed there on that cross by the Lamb of God, my Son, the one whom I loved and sent to you? Why? Why didn't you say something? You had 1,000 opportunities. Somebody said something about a Bible. Somebody said something about their church. Somebody was wearing a pendant, a cross. Somebody was telling you they loved Jesus. Why didn't you tell them the truth? I fear that more than anything. Paul said that we know the terror of God. Therefore, we preach Jesus. The third thing is people who love the world. People who love the world. In 1 John chapter 2 and at verse 15, John writes this, "For of all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of this world." When people love this world, they don't love God. And if we go back and think about this in 1 John 2 and 15, "Do not love the world, neither the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's like Demas, who Paul wrote about to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 10. He forsook Paul because he loved the present world. James says, "You adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever there calls himself a friend of the world is an enemy." He makes himself an enemy of God, James 4 and 4. We had a lesson not too long ago called, "What is it worth to you?" We concluded that anything you love more than God puts God second in your life. No matter what it is, sports, your car, your house, your family, your husband, your wife, your children. You love anything in this world more than God, and you put God second. You devalue God by that. And the result's always the same. God becomes devalued, God becomes second, God becomes third, God becomes fourth, and sooner or later, you kind of put God on the back burner altogether. Your Bible gets dusty. In Galatians 5:4 says this, "We fall from grace." What is it that's in the world that's so bad? Well, the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. We, you know, we've already been given answers in the Scriptures. What we have to do, it's pretty straightforward and simple. Hold fast. Right? "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain." And we think about this in the what it means to try the spirits, to test the false prophets, to test false teachers and false doctrine, how important that is. Peter tells us that there will be false prophets among you and false teachers among you, and they will secretly come in with destructive heresies and denying even the Lord Himself who bought them, and that brings themselves to swift destruction. There are people who just simply can't hold fast to the Word that is preached. And listen, don't believe anything, again, that's ever taught until you've investigated it yourself. Test it, study it, meditate on it, and rightly divide it. You think of John and how important it is that we test every single thing. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Remember, testing the spirits, it just simply means you test everything that a person says. We're not talking about holy spirits or spirits that speak to you in the night or thoughts that you get in your head as you're driving your car. No, we're talking about people who speak to you and teach you. Persons that teach and preach. Every Bible class, every preacher, every elder, everyone. It means that you test everything that you've ever heard or been taught against the Word of God that you yourself study to see if it's true or not true. And if it's not true, like I said in the beginning, cast it out immediately. If it is true, you have no choice but to obey it. And remember the three causes of division. Ignorance, you know how to fix that? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling the word of truth. Liars, you know how to fix that? Speak the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love that you may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And then people who love the world, how do you fix that? You just simply love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in other scriptures, with all your strength. You just love God more. We can sum this all up in 9 words. Let God be true and every man a liar. Boy, I tell you, I appreciate your attendance and your willingness to sit and listen. And I hope this sermon has helped you in some fashion or another. Not only to be a stronger member in the church, but to be able to go out and speak to people. Understand that there are people who wish to remain ignorant, but you can still speak the gospel. There are people who will lie to you, and you can still speak the gospel, and that might just save them. And there are people who love this world, and you just need to let them know you can love things, but you need to love God more. Not leaning on our own wisdom, not leaning on our own understanding, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to let the God-breathed Scripture, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all Scripture is breathed or written by inspiration of God and is good for doctrine, reproof, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, complete for every good work. And if the Lord wills, tonight we'll come back and like I said, do a study on whether or not God does or does not speak to us today directly without the Scriptures. And I hope you'll come. I hope that you'll come and worship together with us and sing together with us, pray with us, and have that grand fellowship in Christ Jesus our Lord with one another. You know, the question here today is, will you let God be true in your heart? Will you let God be true here today? And will you let the words of God touch your heart? Will you let Him guide you with the mighty gospel to the saving of your soul? There's many reasons to do that, but obviously the most important reason is pretty straightforward and pretty simple. The fact is that if we hear the words of Jesus, He tells us what we must do. We ignore everything we've ever been taught and just follow Jesus. In John 6:45, Jesus said that you must hear and be taught of God in order to be drawn to Him. So we hear and we're taught of God. John 8:24, Jesus simply says, if you believe that I am He, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. Believe the words of God. In Luke 13:3, Luke records that we must repent of sin or perish. All these words are from Jesus. And Jesus tells us then, if we've done those things, that we must confess Him before men and He will confess us before the Father, Matthew 10:32. And then believe and be baptized, Jesus said, for the remission of sins, to be added to the body of the church of Christ, and then live your life faithful until death. Matthew 28:19-20. Listen, you have that choice today. And like I said in the beginning, Jesus is. He's not a story. He's not a fable. He is the Son of the living God. He did come to earth. He did do miracles. It was recorded. And very few people have the audacity to refute that. And as Christians, we know what He wants us to do. And if we somehow have fallen short of that, we too can repent today and make things right. Whatever needs you have this day, please come forward as we stand to sing the song number 830, Why Keep Jesus Waiting?